Every newsroom used to have a crusty city editor who berated young reporters. Mine was a revered Providence Journal editor named Al Johnson who barked, "Put them in the ambulance before you take them to the hospital," when he wanted a story about a car accident. Rhode Island reporters could take a page from this First Things First agenda. Before we get to the November election and the Providence mayoral campaign, we would all do well to remember that there is a September primary for the Democratic nomination. There are three serious Democrats vying for their party's nod. The pre-campaign favorite is Michael Solomon, the current city council president, and the lone aspirant to be elected to anything. The others are Brett Smiley, a campaign consultant and civic activist who has run campaigns but never won one. The third is Jorge Elorza, a former sitting housing court judge and law professor who's been active in the city's growing Latino community. Smiley's a bright East Sider who served as chairman of the Providence Water Supply Board, an important post with control over the Citrus Reservoir and the water distribution system that provides 60% of the state with some of the nation's best drinking water. Yet he's lived in the city less than a decade, and his husband, realtor Jim Durantis, has deeper ties to the community than does Smiley and is better known in many civic circles. Smiley has so far gained notice mostly for a creative television commercial that touts his thoughtfulness and his ability to develop plans to solve problems. Elorza is a Harvard Law School graduate who teaches at the Roger Williams University School of Law. Active in Latino community issues, he too has reached out to the vote-rich East Side neighborhoods. In his best scenario, he mimics the coalition that elected Angel Taveras as the city's first Latino mayor in 2010, welding the East Side votes near Brown University with the South Side's significant minority population. But being mayor of a recession-riven old New England city isn't all about wonky 10-point proposals and PowerPoint presentations. While governors and U.S. senators float above the electorate on lofty issues, the mayor is a politician whose breath the voters can literally smell. It's the mayor who gets the call when the mewling cat is stuck in the tree outside your bedroom. The mayor takes the blame when a January snowstorm keeps the kids on school buses for hours, and it's the mayor who hears the talk show rants about tax increases and that gaping pothole that fractured your axle. This is where Solomon has his prime argument. He's been council president, a largely thankless job over the last 4 years that's been akin to herding eels. Solomon has had to make the compromises and the deals to get the 8 council votes necessary to support the Taveras agenda. Solomon and Taveras have worked well together at a perilous time for Providence as they dealt with the ocean of red ink in the city budget that was inherited from the second mayoral term of David Cicilline, now a congressman. Yet Solomon is not an accomplished orator. He isn't the book smartest or best debater in the field. A small businessman, he has done well raising money and has hired tested consultants who have long experience in Rhode Island politics. His supporters shrug off his lack of polish, asserting that he would run City Hall along the lines of Boston's Tom Menino, who had successful administrations despite a speaking style so phlegmatic that he earned the nickname Mumbles. As for Cianci, the media will need to look a little bit deeper than the blush of nostalgia and fluffy as cotton candy coverage that has ruled the front pages and television screens since he filed for election last Wednesday. One legitimate avenue of Cianci criticism is how he handles city pension issues. We all laughed back in the day when Cianci boasted that the city's mostly female teachers had such generous benefits they lacked only Delta hairdressing. What isn't funny is how the ridiculously lavish pension benefits granted police and fire retirees, some with 6% compounded cost of living hikes, have jumped homeowners' taxes and nearly caused municipal bankruptcy. Buying support of city employer unions with taxpayer cash is not prudent government. And neither is failing to make adequate payments to the city's pension fund. Listen to Cianci's own words from his book entitled Politics and Pasta. It's a lesson in governing by the rules of the urban machine era. He recalls how he won support from city employee unions during his 1990 comeback campaign. Quote, "I had given paid health insurance a decade before state workers got it. Teachers in Providence had gone from being among the worst paid in the state to among the best. Police and firefighters had got substantially improved benefits." The media and his opponents will hopefully remind voters that Cianci's administrations were not all about the spiffed-up downtown and new mall, the splendor of Florence, and the Kennedy Plaza skating rink. The whiff of corruption encircled all of Cianci's tenure. City finances were too often mismanaged. Hopefully, this crucial Providence mayoral election won't boil down to H.L. Mencken's famous quip about elections. Democracy, Mencken said, is the theory that the common people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard.